I love to take cruises out on the open ocean. Now, I used to be terrified by it. When I was little, we would go out into the Gulf of Mexico on fishing cruises, and so Dad could do some deep sea fishing, and I can remember being absolutely terrified of the great big open sea and the rolling waves and the wind. And I was also terrified, of course, of losing my breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the middle of the sea. But as I grew up, I discovered a deep fascination with ocean travel. And I took numerous cruises on cruise ships out in the deep ocean and all around the world in various itineraries. One day, I was on a cruise to Antarctica, and we had just left out of Rio de Janeiro and were heading south, and we're in the middle of a horrible storm, as can happen between there and the Falklands and then on down into Antarctica. It was a horrible, horrible storm. The seas were really rough, and the ship was going up, 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 and then it would come across the top of a swell, and then it would go crashing down. And it would shimmy and shake, and then it would start to pull up again and go up and up and up and up and up, and then over again and then down. It's like riding on a roller coaster all day long and all night long. Eating dinner and that was really fascinating. Anyway, I can remember one morning I was going out for breakfast and several decks above me to travel, and I decided to try to get my steps in. So I went to the forward stairwell, and I was going up the steps, and as you're going down, 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 it was easy to go up, 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 up the steps. But then when the ship was pulling up and going up and up and up and up and up on the top of the wave, it got heavy and heavy. And it's like they added extra steps to the stairs. It was so much. I got about halfway up to the middle landing on like the fourth or fifth deck, and I came across a guy. I'd seen him before on the cruise and various settings, likable fellow, somewhat older than me, and he was having trouble. He was hanging on to the rail in the middle landing, afraid of trying to make his way up the next flight of steps, as difficult as it was. And I looked at him and I said, the secret, of course, is to go up when the ship is going down. It makes you so much lighter. It makes it so much easier to climb the steps. And he said, I never thought of that. I was trying to do it the other way. And so I took his hand, and we grabbed onto the rails on each side. And as the ship made its way down to shimmy and crash in the waves, we went up three and four steps at a time. And we made our way, pausing as the ship would go up, and then down again, all the way up to the Lido deck for a wonderful breakfast together. I told him that I had learned that secret when on one of my first cruises we were in a storm and one of the ship's officers caught me in the middle stairwell, unable to move for fear. And he told me it's always best to go up when the ship is going down. There's lots of meanings to be had in that. And life can often be like that. We can find ourselves caught in the midst of a crazy storm in life. Our vision tells us one thing. Our other senses may disagree. We may get confused. And furthermore, we know that something else has to be the case. When my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer 22 years ago, it was like someone took the wind out of my sails. It was a very bad tumor. It was huge, it was fast growing, and the prognosis for beyond a couple of years for her was terrible. I could read the statistics, not a smart thing to do, by the way, and I knew that even with surgery and chemo, my mother's chances were poor at best. I'll never forget being sick with fear for her, but encountering absolute calmness in her. Why? Looking at the prognosis, studying the realities of her cancer, it wasn't good, and she knew it. She had been told all these things, and she confronted them. But Mom, was like that. Mom is like that. Not reeling from the prognosis. She didn't seem to be afraid then. She had an almost stoic serenity about her. I'll never forget standing in the pre-op room next to her bed, Dad on one side, me on the other. Dad was nervous, I was nervous. He and I were both sinking. But Mom was not. Mom was steady. And she asked me to pray for her. And I did. But my voice kept cracking. My voice kept faltering with fear. Most of you don't know this, but when I was young, I stuttered rather terribly. And when I'm nervous or when I'm tired or when I'm afraid or when I don't know what to say, then I start stuttering. And it gets worse and worse. And that's where I was then. In the midst of the stormy gale of life, holding my mother's hand, trying to pray for her before a critical double mastectomy, and I couldn't pray. She squeezed my hand, I stopped, and then she started praying. She prayed for us, she prayed for Dad, she prayed for my brother, she prayed for me, she prayed for the doctors and the nurses, she prayed for her mother. She prayed for everybody but herself, because her focus wasn't on herself. Her focus was on others. Her focus was on God. Her focus was on Jesus. Peter's focus in this fantastic story, Peter's focus begins on Jesus, on identifying who this figure is, who's walking toward them, and on wanting to join him on the water. And Jesus tells him to come, and so he gets out of the boat and he starts to walk on the water, focused on Jesus, until he notices the storm. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Everything is going fine until he took his attention off of Jesus and put it onto himself and onto the waves and onto the wind and onto the conditions in which he found himself. And that's easy to do. We all do it. We allow our attention to get drawn to ourselves or upon our circumstances rather than keeping our attention upon God, upon Christ, and upon others, upon that which Jesus taught us to do. Love God and love neighbor as self. When we take our attention off of the calling that Jesus gives us and put it upon ourselves or upon our circumstances and the difficulties that we face, we start to sink. This happens to me, and I can easily become self-conscious, and I begin to falter. I've had a few of you ask me why I wear vestments, why I wear the robe and the stole and black robes and white robes and different kinds of stoles. Some of you say I have more robes and stoles than there are weeks in the year. No, that's not quite true, but it's close. One of my earliest Sundays in ministry, I was pastoring a three-point charge, and I was in the middle of the chancel, standing in front of the pulpit, preaching, and in the middle of the service, little old gentleman, little old Freeman Pearson stands up, he's a retired pastor, about 25 years younger than Moses, I guess. And he stood up. And in the middle of my sermon, he interrupted me and he said, "Brother Greg, your fly is open." I moved to the pulpit, got behind it, zip. And ever since then, I've worn robes. Why? So I don't become self-conscious. So that I don't get focused on myself. So that I can hide myself behind the office, within the trappings of the office of a pastor. And it's not me, it's the calling, it's the ordination, it's the education, it's the position, it's the office of ministry that's speaking and that's preaching, not me. So long as I keep myself submerged in the trappings of the pastorate, I'm fine. So long as my focus is on Christ, on my calling, on the church and its mission and ministry, on the needs of others, on the duties and responsibilities of ministry, on the awesome honor of preaching and teaching and celebrating the sacraments, and not on me, I'm fine. In this fantastic story about Peter walking on the water, Peter allowed his focus to get off of Jesus and onto himself. And when he did that, he began to sink. And the same thing happens to us all, and the same thing has happened to the church. When we get our focus off of Christ's ministry, Christ's calling, Christ's direction to serve others in His name, and on to building ourselves up, centering on ourselves, making ourselves the hero of every story, and boy, do preachers love to do that, it's then that we sink. It's then that the waves overcome us. What's happening to the church in our society. That's where Christian nationalism comes from, this idea of aggrandizing the self and the fortress church mentality, rather than recognizing that we are called to be an outpost of the kingdom of God, of the love of God, of the grace of God, of the peace of God in a broken and hurting world, outwardly focused, not inwardly directed, not paying attention to the waves in the sea, but to Christ who calls us to walk over it and to reach out hands and help those in need. When Peter began to sink, what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Do we have enough faith to walk on water? If our focus is on Christ, yes. Do we have enough faith to float if we can't walk? Or swim? Yes. If our focus is on Christ, if our focus is on others and not ourselves. What is your focus today, my sisters, my brothers, my siblings in Christ? Where is your focus? Is it on yourself? Or is it on others? Is it on yourself or is it on Christ. Focus on God. Focus on Christ. Focus on the calling we have. Focus on others. And walk on the water. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.
In your presence.